declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right, amen. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Let me just say, this shouldn't be your declaration only here. If you wake up in the morning sometimes, just take it and speak to yourself. Read it out, meditate upon each line, one by one, and you will find the Spirit of God giving light to your soul.
Amen.
That will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said that will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Let's just take our seats quickly. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. We finally got a title for the series we are on. It's titled Dominion Over Sin. All right. I want us to do something. Today we are going to do much of declaring the word of God. Let's do more praying and less teaching today. But as I was getting ready this afternoon, a stream of thoughts came into my heart, and I believe it's what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. So we are going to start again today by reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 5. And I want to just point something out from there. The book of Hebrews chapter 5, which was where we read and spent time last time. It said, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." The Bible says he can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And he said, "And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was." Now verse 5 says, "So also Christ did not glorify himself, so as to become a high priest. But he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,' just as he says also in another passage, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' Now he says, concerning this, our high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek," in verse 7, which is actually where I'm going, just read all of that to get it in context. "So in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety." Or literally, like King James gives it to us, he was heard because he feared. And I want to just emphasize that again to us today as we start teaching. He was heard because he feared. Last time I explained extensively that the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way as we were, or as we are being tempted, yet without sin. And we read this to emphasize the fact that for him to be an effective high priest, he has to feel our infirmities. He has to be tempted in the same way that we are being tempted. Without that, if he doesn't feel that weakness, all right, he will not be effective in being a high priest. We discussed that last time. But the summary of what we said is that what we want to learn from that is to know that if he was weak, in quotes, like we are, if he was tempted like we are being tempted, yet he was without sin, that means there was something that he did that prevented him from walking in sin or falling into sin. We must remove it from our minds that the reason why he did not sin was because he was the Son of God. If we think like that, we have told ourselves, listen, we will continue to sin. And that's what we see here. The Bible says, no, he was tempted like we are tempted. All right? And if it was not possible for him to sin, then it was not a temptation. If it was possible, that's why it's called a temptation. Even though it was possible, the Bible says he was without sin. And we are looking at the technology, the method, the way by which he achieved facing all those temptations and refusing to sin and not falling for sin. We looked at that extensively last time. That's why we're introducing it. And we say as believers, we must learn it. It is important that we know that it is doable. Very important. You know, people have said it before. I remember when I was in school, I was praying to one of my friends. He said the reason why he's not giving his life to Christ is that, look, forget that thing, that you will still backslide and fall back into sin. That is a lie Satan tells to people. Okay? But if you let people understand that, no, what I'm offering to you is not church membership. It's power to walk above sin. That's what we are discussing. It's not church membership. And that's what we're talking about. So let's not ever think about it that, yeah, you don't have a choice. If you're in a country like this, you'll be corrupt. If you are like this, you will fall into it. No, that is the normal human flesh. But what God offers us in Christ Jesus is a way by which we can walk above sin. It is possible. It is possible. It is very, very possible to live your life and you can't even remember when last you confessed a sin. It's very possible. In fact, let me tell you what God expects for believers. Let me just say this, all right? What he expects is that the next time you confess sin is when you have new light. You understand what I mean by new light?
Yes.
That is, you now understand that, this is not how it's supposed to be. I have been living like this for a long time.
Yes.
I now see new light. Then you confess that one away, then you step to a higher level. It's not as if the Bible says righteous man falls 7 times. It's not falling into the same sin 7 times. Are you getting my point? It's not as if he's stumbling on the same spot. That's what you must understand. So there's what the Bible calls besetting sin. It said, lay aside every weight, like it was saying in the book of Hebrews there, and sin that does easily beset. What does that mean? Sometimes people have things that they trip over all the time. It said, lay it aside. There is a method for doing it. And that's what we are looking at in this, our teachings, all right? So I'm just reviewing what we said last time. One more thing, let me just really remind us of the fact that I said one of the reasons, okay, the Bible tells us clearly when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, that God will never allow you to be tempted more than you are able to bear. Do you get my point? What that means is that if a temptation comes to you, what the Bible is saying is that there is a, you can resist it. It's not as if I can't resist it. You can. You can. Last time I emphasized the reason why some temptations look so difficult to resist is simply because people fell for the temptation beforehand. They think they are still trying to resist. I don't know whether you get my point. You know, they think, this temptation, let me not fall for it. They've already fallen. It's like somebody has jumped into mud. Say, let me not get dirty. You're already inside the mud. And now walking jejely like this. Say, let me not get dirty. Of course, as you put up one foot, it flaps the mud onto your back. And you're still walking gently. The problem is that you're already inside what? Mud. Last time I emphasized that extensively. That's where a lot of us miss it. We have fallen for the temptation. But because it looks small, we thought that it's not a sin, it's not a temptation. Then when the thing now begins to bear fruit, you must understand life has two aspects to it. There is a seed time and there is harvest. There's also, the Bible also uses the expression, root and fruit. So that's it. So sometimes we've already sown the seed for iniquity. Then when it begins to germinate, we want to resist. At that time, we don't have the strength. Not because God did not make a way of escape, but we are putting in the energy late. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you are putting the energy late. For example, he said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Okay? And then, but you want to have friends, you decide that the Christians are boring people. I've seen people like that before. They don't want to stay with Christians because they are boring. They are not excited. No, they are boring guys. So you make friends with Agbero, Omota, and Jaguda. Are you getting my point? Because they are exciting people. And then the day they put wee-wee in your nose, smoke, you want to resist. You're already sitting in the seat of the scornful. You are taking counsel from the wicked. Then when they now give you counsel, you now say, I will not obey their counsel. No, that's what I mean. When you made a choice to leave the company of believers, it was when you fell for the temptation. You did not think it was a problem, so you were not resisting it that time. But now that you want to resist, you now find out that you can't. You don't have the energy. And you think the scripture is not correct that say God will never allow you to be tempted more than you are able. But God did not say God will not allow you to allow yourself. I don't know whether you get my point. Sometimes, no, even James said it. When are we tempted? When we are drawn by our own lusts. We say, God, don't worry, let me handle this myself. And that's something I said last time. I'm trying not to preach the message again. But it's very important to understand it. One major reason why the scripture looks like it's not true is that we resist temptation at the wrong time. If you see all kinds of things I hear in the Western world, I just know that the world is really upside down. Can you remember the one, there was one, remember Julian Assange? WikiLeaks. In trying to catch him so that they can harass him for leaking the wiki. Are you getting my point? For leaking all those things. They arrested him for rape. And when he heard the charge of rape, if you were God, you would destroy the whole country. You know the charge of rape? That he raped a girl. You know how he did it? Did he force the girl? The girl said, he forced me at the last moment. We only agreed to lie down in bed naked. Do you hear what I said? I'm not joking. Go and Google it up. That my consent stopped. We will lie down together. Because man body be firewood. That's how we used to say it in Benin those days. He said, I bet man body no be firewood. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They now said, they are looking for the man. He's been hiding in the Ecuadorian embassy for years now. Because somebody said, we want to investigate the rape charge. What is the rape charge? I told him I would lie down there. Both of us will wear cloth. I don't know what he was now up to. You're turning the world upside down. Are you getting my point? And it sounds funny, but that's what a lot of Christians do. That's what we do. Listen, this is how you know you're not planning to resist sin. Who's your best friend? A non-believer. You are not planning to resist sin. Why? You have already disobeyed a clear scripture. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You've already decided my counselor must be ungodly. You have removed every ability to resist every sin. Christians be funny. You want to hang out with the guys on campus, but you don't want to do what the guys are doing. If you don't want to do what the guys are doing, hang out with the people who are not there amongst the guys. I've seen Christians do it. Because Christians behave one... Listen, let me tell you something. No matter how human beings behave, their behavior is bad. I will not leave them and go and live with lions. I will manage the human beings. You say, last time I gave Okemu the money, did not return it. I gave Israel my car keys. He jammed the car. I told my wife, let's eat bread. She brought a pancake. I don't like all these people again. So what I'm going to do? I'm going to the zoo. What am I trying to say? It's always better to associate with people who are true believers. Now, why did I go into all of that? I just want to emphasize to us that that's the problem we often have. It is not as if God cannot help us resist temptation, but we go to where God does not want to come. We'll stay there and say, help me resist temptation. Say, God. God will just answer and say, no. I told you I wasn't coming. The Bible says it clearly. You know, that's what I said last time. What we call sins, most of the times they are fruits of real sins that have been committed. They are just natural manifestations. I like what David Paulson said. That was my first time of seeing it. You know, in the world today, there's this noise about homosexuality. Homosexuality, is it right? Is it wrong? He said, homosexuality in itself. Now, listen to me. Don't listen to the first part. Finish the whole thing, all right? He said, in effect, that homosexuality, that God is not angry with homosexuality. He said, homosexuality is a sign that God is angry. I don't know whether you get my point. It is not as if God looks and said, I don't like homosexuality. I said, no. That when God is angry, He removes people's sense. And what even animals know is wrong. They will start arguing that it is right. He said, when you see it, it's not the time to start arguing with people. Is it right or wrong? He said, no. God has given them over to depravity. It's when God hands people over to senselessness, they start arguing about some things. That's when the man will wake up. You know, in America right now, there's one fight that's going on. I wish they could just come out and look at it from the eyes of sane people. You know it's not a fight. This is a fight. Which toilet will I use in a public place? You get to the airport, you see male, female. Which one will I use? Now, do you believe, should there be a discussion on that? Pastor Banky wants to wee-wee in the toilet, in the airport. We should be discussing which one he will use. Do you know it's a debate? And a state had to write a law that you shall use the bathroom according to the gender on your birth certificate. I'm happy you are laughing. Because it's so silly. And some are saying, ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, is saying that
It's discrimination. Some people are already dragging the matter to court. That I'm saying, oh boy, once I see your genitalia, I will know where you should use. They say, no, it depends on what my mind tells me. That if I feel like a woman, I will go to the female side. And if I feel like a man, I will go to the male side. And it is being discussed. You will understand why God told the children of Israel, when you get to that land, don't talk to anybody, just kill everybody. Because discussion will not make any sense. You are getting my point? No, please, just go and check the news. You know, you read some news, eh? We should discuss this. The apostle said, don't be angry. That Paul said in Romans chapter 1, that God gives people over to a reprobate mind. That this, and God is watching and laughing at them. So you will not be able to think. Why am I saying all of this? There are sins we try to resist. The real sin was actually easy to resist. What we are trying to resist now is a fruit of sins already committed. That's it. In that case, what is a sin in a society? When they refuse the knowledge of God and refuse to give him thanks, then he starts handing them over to senselessness. And that was easy to resist. It was very easy to resist when Satan says there is no God. It's easy to tell him that, how can there be no God? Where did everything come from? Even if I don't know which God it is, or who is it he is, what he is like, at least I know. Things don't, listen, please let me digress a bit. Mathematically, there has to be a God. The principle of mathematics alone, and advanced physics, and studying biology, and true science, even if God never introduced himself, we should have looked for him. It's like getting to a town. You've never been there before. And you dropped out of a sky with a parachute and landed in an... You don't know the continent. You don't know anywhere. And then you see a beautiful car there. No, let's forget car. You know car. You see a very nice structure, well painted. Looks like a house. The first thing you check is, who put this here? It doesn't cross your mind that volcanic eruption changed color and contour, and then this house with window and doors and everything just appeared. It's common sense. Yet it's easier for those things to appear than for this complicated life we have to appear. It's been shown that for the simplest form of enzymes that life needs, one of the most basic you find in the simplest bacteria, a man showed mathematically that it is impossible for he to have come to the earth by chance, and the man does not believe in God. He's a Buddhist. Buddhists don't believe in a personal God. He's a Buddhist. And he went to court and testified that the likelihood of this happening by chance is zero. I'm going to say, mathematically. Mathematics may not tell you Jesus is the Lord. But at least we know by the principle of mathematics as we understand it today, and physics and chemistry and biology, life could not have come up by chance. So you see, that's not a big sin to resist. You can simply sit in your house and say, there must be a God somewhere. But men decide, no, we will not. Then they want to resist homosexuality. No, they can't. At that point in time, God had already given them over to depravity. You go to some places, a man gets up in the morning, shoots his wife, his son, his daughter, his cousin, anybody around. I say, everybody dead? They say yes. Then he shoots himself. I say, his spirit possessed him. Yes. God gave him over to madness, and his spirit possessed him. That is the problem with resisting temptation. We tend to start late. We don't start early. We resist the wrong things. We don't resist the basic things. Listen, this is the word of God. The real sins are very easy to resist. The ones we try to resist and it's hard, they are the fruits of sins we have committed. David Paulson's illustration is just perfect. He said, God is not angry with homosexuality. Homosexuality is a sign of his anger. Paul said it like that. Because they refused to acknowledge him as God and they refused to give him thanks. Those are simple things they could have done. For us believers, it's like that also. If you find something hard to resist in your life, go and ask yourself, where did this start from? Once I was hearing a story about one girl. This girl was, you know, people who have no control. Bad. But I won't bad. No, you know, Ashewo is on the road, Abi. This is on the day choir. Enter church, you will sleep with choir leader, sleep with pastor. Anything. Dangerous. When I was hearing the story, of course, choir leader in one church gave her, made her pregnant, divorced his wife to marry her, and all of those things. When I was hearing, some people heard the story, and that was not the first story. She had done it somewhere else before. The day I was hearing the story, I was just listening. Young girl, 20-something. When I heard that story, you know the first thing I said? I said, her father cursed her. I said, this is how people behave when their fathers placed a curse upon them, either deliberately or indirectly. This is a product of a paternal curse. Don't fight the girl. She can't help it. When you say that I can't help it, she's not lying. And then after I said this one, the girl needs as much help as a drug dealer, as a drug addict needs. All things you are seeing is a cry for freedom. So I said, where's her father? Ah, somebody said, ah, father, that the man will kill her if he finds her. I said, good. I said, I told you that this is not, this power will be broken if a father calls her, hugs her, and says, my girl, I forgive you. Many people are resisting things that is not the problem, it's the result. Are you getting my point? It's the fruit. It's the fruit. You find anything in life difficult to fight off, ask yourself, well, it came from somewhere. Especially when you are a believer, it came from somewhere. That thing was easy to handle. You didn't handle it. You want to handle the difficult one. No. No. If you plant a seed, it's easy. Mustard seed. It's very easy to uproot it. But when that tree has grown, and that dropped his roots, the taproot down like some 10 to 15 meters, some dangerous trees, and it has spread the lateral ones like this, into the next compound, front, back, you can't even see it. It has spread its roots into underground waters. In dry season, it's pulling up water. And as you pull it down, you will cut tire. In my former house where I used to live, we had this big mango tree that was causing problems, drop fruit on the small house nearby and all of that. So I asked my dad, and he was a trained agriculturist. I said, how can I kill this tree? It's a mango tree. It's hard to kill. That's my, because I thought, because when I was younger, I know if you wanted to kill a tree, he brought a chemical called tree killer. Peel the back. He said, mango tree. I said, can't we use tree killer? He said, mango, it won't die. Ah. We burn it, he said, forget it. After that, it will grow again. I said, what do I do with the mango tree? He said, you have to cut it down bit by bit. I gave up. No, I left the mango. It was not my house. I left after some time. This mango, remember that mango? Massive mango like this. And it used to produce bad fruit. You know, if it was in a good fruit now. No, you know, there are mangoes that, all those ones that come from, what they call it, Agban area. You know, those mangoes there. I have that kind of thing now. You say, why do we kill it? You won't kill it. You'll be blessing it. Pray for it. The name of Jesus shall be well with you. This one, useless mango. To make it worse, it used to produce fruit when normal people are producing fruit. And when it produces the fruit, there will be plenty. Nobody wants to eat it. So it will be falling all over my compound, rotting everywhere. That was why I wanted to kill it. Kill it. My father just told me that this is a hard one. And the easiest way is to cut it down. And the thing was too big. That's how sin is when it has developed taproot. When they were supposed to resist, they did not resist. So life is now hard. The word of God is true. When they say God will not allow you to be tempted more than what you are able, it's real. Many of the things we think temptation I can't resist is the fruit of sins we fell for. The Lord is good. So that's what we discussed last time. Before getting to praying, I just want to say something today. Like I told you, when I was getting ready, a stream of thoughts came to my mind, and I said, this must be what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn today. Go back to that book of Hebrews chapter 5. Let me just emphasize something. We're talking about dominion over sin. All right, let's just read from King James and just get that one clear. Verse 7. He said that, who in the days of his flesh
when he had offered prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. I picked up the word fear because many translations try to soften it into piety. You know, godly fear. But literally, the word is what?
Fear.
Fear. When we soften it, I've heard people say before that, you see, God is not to be feared like you fear a rattlesnake. And I agree. God should not be feared the way you fear a rattlesnake. You should fear him more than you fear a rattlesnake. That's what I think. More. Because if rattlesnake kills, it kills only you. When God was angry with the whole earth, he killed everybody. Kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish out of the way. Please, bear that in mind. God doesn't go on like a rattlesnake seeking whom he might devour. God looks to and fro the whole earth to see who he may bless. Are you getting my point? We should get that one clear. He wants to bless us. Anger is not his default position. The Bible says clearly he is what? Slow to anger. He's very, very slow to anger. I just remember this joke. I can't let it pass. I have to share it. When they were playing complete this sentence with my son at home. So my wife said, "The Lord is slow to dash." Victory looked and said, "The Lord is slow to nothing." He said, "Slow to nothing." Now, back to what I was saying. So the Lord is slow to anger. I'm not saying that he's always angry. I just want people to remove it from their minds that you don't just, you know, behave anyhow, believing that there are no consequences. With God, there are consequences. Kenneth Hagin said, "We live in an age of fear and troubles and insecurity on every side." He said, "We have to preach enough positive," I'm paraphrasing now, I can't remember the exact quote. So we have to preach enough positive messages and faith so that people have confidence. He said, but we also have to preach against sin because there is judgment. That's Kenneth Hagin, the father of the modern day faith movement. He said, we have to preach against sin because there is judgment. If you have not listened to this series, please go and listen to it. Divine Healing that he taught in the ministers' conference. He said many of these things we are teaching, we can't teach them in crusades. He said, because when you teach them in crusades, people come under condemnation and their faith is down. And it may not apply to them. He said, so when we come to crusades, we just say everything positive. God wants you well. He said, a few people will believe that and get healed. He said, the truth, he said, as a pastor, you can't preach the way we preach in crusades. That's what he said. He said, as a pastor in the church, you have to preach everything. He said, because many times there are reasons people are sick. And they will never get well until they repent of those reasons. You know, when you're following men, be careful. Make sure you always believe the word of God. Because, and the man would, why I say so is that some people can say, no, can I again say that God always heals? You didn't hear all his messages. They are inner caucus messages where they teach things that they say we can't teach openly because they will be misunderstood. And I was instructing pastors. He said, so in your church, you have to preach everything. When I come for a crusade, I don't have that time. But you are the pastor. You are there, day in, day out. Show them this. If you are not walking in love, you will fall sick, you will die. I mean, he'll tell you stories of a heavily anointed minister, a particular one that died at the age of 35. This guy had more miracles in his life than Kenneth Hagin had when they were both ministers. Said, but God said to him, this boy will die soon if he does not judge himself concerning how he relates with other ministers and concerning his love for money. He was 36 thereabouts when he became ill and he died. In that series, he will tell you stories. He will ministry. Holy Spirit just saying that this boy is dying before next year. Preacher, 40. Why is he dying? He said, the way this guy looks at other women, he's married. God says he will die before the year is over. He called that one and said, come, I want you to know you're about to die. Why am I going to die? You are married. What are you doing looking at other women? And you know, look at me, he passed Luke alone. No. Are you getting my point? I'm just being nice. So the man repented and he did not die.
Another fellow did not repent. Woke up one morning, shouted my head. That was it. He died before the evening was over. Why am I saying all of these things? So God is merciful. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He is slow to anger. Give me an amen.
Amen.
But doesn't mean we treat him like he doesn't get angry. He's not a spoiled father. You know, a father that's of spoiled children. He's not. He can be firm. Just that he's very slow. He gives us time to repent. He gives us time to change. He gives us time to do what is right. And he can't be bribed. A friend of mine who has a very strong prophetic unction told me a story the other day in their church. A man came to come and give a large offering. And this is my friend went to that man and said, "Where did you get money from?" And it was embarrassing. You can imagine somebody came here now. He said, "Pastor Banky, the work you are doing is great. The Lord laid it upon my hand and gave it 10 million naira. And I'm still rejoicing." Peru, 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 Peru. You know? Then you walk up to the man and say, "Come, you want to give 10 million? Where did you see 10 million? I know where you work. You work in local government as paymaster. How did you see 10 million? The pastor heard, got angry with my friend. And said, "How dare you?" My friend said, "Sorry." They took the money from the man, used it to build the church. One day, small rain fell. The church collapsed. Small rain. You know, if I say a tornado for America, I will understand. One small rain, they came down, boom, the major pillars holding the church caved in. The church sank like this. They now gathered to be praying. "In the name of Jesus, all the enemies that said we will not build." I was looking at them. Looking at them, said, "Please stop that. Told them straight. It's not the enemy. Didn't tell me this other part. The other part was that when I was warning you people, there's not every money you collect. When you see a man who's obviously stealing, according to Tunde Bakare, Eroju Ole Omu, Eroju Ole Omu, Omo Yon Shagbafo, Onka Shawale, Eroju Ole Omu." Sorry, Tunde Bakare is single. What it means is that you saw a thief, a clear thief. You did not catch him. Your son is not into laundry business. He's bringing clothes home every evening. You should have known that your brother is a thief. And you know those days, among the people who stole were clothes. It is a song. So when the man, you're supposed to have caught him. I told you one of my friends, a pastor, yeah, somebody came to his church just to contrast this with the other experience. He's in a place where things are technically more difficult. This other church I talked about is down south here, where life is generally easier. Yet, he said one man joined his church, and that man, almost half of all the offerings the church had received, the one man gave it, about one third to half. That for the first time, he could settle down and plan, knowing that this money is coming. He said, but every time the man gave an offering, his spirit would twist. He knew something was out of order. And he began to pray. If you were around when Pastor Kwoji was preaching, Pastor Kwoji said something. That there are times you have to lay down an Isaac. If you remember, the minister's meeting. He said, that one he prayed. By the time he finished praying, he said, "Look, I can't take this anymore." He called the man to the side and said, "Please, God bless you. We are very happy. We like what you have been doing. There's only one problem. My spirit does not rest anytime I think about it and I think about you. Is there anything you want to tell me? Because this is your money. It's helpful, physically speaking, but it's disturbing my soul." You can imagine a man negotiating away half of his income. The man told him simply, "Sir, God bless you. You are the first pastor that's bothering to ask me this question. He had been to many churches supporting ministries. Why was he doing all the support? It wasn't love for God. It was trying to kill the conscience that was talking too much." He says, "Sir, I am a thief." Let's summarize it like that. Say that money is stolen money. "I'm a paymaster for one of these federal government agencies. He's in one remote area. They cook the books in Abuja and forward the money to a remote area claiming that he's paying people. He knows the deal that this is my portion of what my ogas share." He said that even him, he's not at rest. So he was so grateful when one pastor came and asked him. And that one told him straight, what you always knew to be right, you have to stop. Even to the pastor, it's not just about money now, it has now become a matter of my life. Because this is a big syndicate. This is how they milk federal government. I am involved. I will pray for you, nothing bad will happen to you. But you have to stop. And that's what he did. Now, why am I telling the story? I'm telling the story of the other people that didn't care. And God had to bring forth judgment. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. The Lord had to bring forth judgment. Let's not take him for granted. I'm trying to emphasize what he called fear. When he said that he was heard because he feared. One major reason why Christians don't receive the power to resist sin is that they haven't yet feared. They claim to want to resist sin, but they have not feared. They don't understand that sin is powerful. That's what I want to explain today. Sin is very powerful. Sin, you know, these spiritual things we talk about, faith, we talk about love, they are spiritual substances. Like if God were to open our eyes so we could discern, we'll be able to see sin in the realm of the spirit. You'll be able to see it. I think it's the oath or one of them. Frank Peretti tried to depict sin as a substance that people connected with by their actions. If you read that book, you will see there was a dragon there that was killing people. But he could only kill people that connected with that substance of sin. Please, you must get that point. Sin is not a moral... No, I keep on saying that. It's not a moral matter. It is a spiritually tangible substance. That was why God couldn't just forgive Adam and say, Adam, don't do it again. No. If you do it again, next time I will be angry. He couldn't. Because Adam had released a... Let me borrow a word from physics. He had released a radioactive force into the environment. And because of the radioactivity, it had to be curbed. It had to be treated. Things had to be solved. So God couldn't just say, Adam, forget it. Forget what? What about the radioactivity that's in the atmosphere? Jesus was the antidote. Adam had released poison. Sorry wouldn't cure it. Something had to be released to counteract it. And that's what Paul called the power of his resurrection. Something had to be released to counteract it. Sin is a real spiritual force. It's a tangible substance in the realm of the spirit. Very tangible. What am I saying? Why did Jesus fear? Because he understood the power of sin. He understood that the power of sin is able to cap somebody from his destiny. He understood it. People say that destiny stealers, there is no destiny stealer out there. All the destiny stealers in life are inside you. No witch outside can steal your destiny. There's something I preached here some time ago. I said, let's give an example in a family. The father is a gatekeeper. The mother is an assistant gatekeeper. The life of their children is determined by what they allow inside. When you see a man committing adultery, call him, say, sir, it's not about you. You are setting up your children for a bad thing. They will enter campus, they will join court. They won't know why. It is the adultery of the father. These are spiritual substances. These are not things like, okay, they didn't find me. Who cares who finds you? It doesn't matter if whether somebody finds you, you drink poison. I was not there when you were drinking it. I also won't be there when you drop dead. We may never even know. That's another point. We may never know what happened. We may never know what this fellow drank. But he drank poison and it killed him. Please, follow me. I'm trying to emphasize what the Bible meant when it said he feared. Because he understood that the wages of sin is death. He said the one who could save him from death. So he was hurt because of his fear. He understood that if I don't do the will of the Father, it's not that the Father will just find somebody else and there will be no consequences in my life. No. 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 The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Applied to Jesus Christ. So if he sinned, he died. This time around, not for the sin of the whole world, but for his own sin. Thereby making him a useless sacrifice. He understood that. He understood that you are dealing with a plan of ages for which God called Abraham. all the experience of the house of Israel, everything they went through, and he came to this particular point, he feared. I used to think the plan of God, once it's made, you can't do anything about it, it's a fat lie. You can spoil the plan of God. God makes a plan, say, Apostle, come, let's spoil it. And he won't force us not to spoil it. We will spoil it. Spoil it for a whole nation. Keep a whole generation in suspension until you find somebody else. You know, I've gone around preaching a bit. A few days ago, I sat down, and I, almost with tears, I said, God, thank you. That I could have run away from doing this job. I could have decided that me too, I needed to have a good life. When I got to Abba, the host pastor was still leading me into the church. One man bolted and grabbed me. No, for a moment, and the man, you know, my host, he didn't know he was going. Meanwhile, I had been kidnapped at the back. Are you getting my point? You know, for a moment, I was confused. The man held my hand like this tightly into his bosom like this. Come, let me show you. This is how he held my hand. He came, later on, next day when they saw him, he said, where are you going? He told them where he was going. They described the path of Abba he came from. That is very far. Next day he came with his two children, little boys, that they had to come and see Pastor Banky. He said he came all the way just to come and see me. Oh, like, God has blessed him today. I told him when I got back home, I said, so, sweetheart, and I thank God. That is, you mean it's possible that we could have refused to do this job? Why? I have to build a house first. That's it. No, you're talking about anointing. I have somebody in mind. I was discussing with a friend the other day. When you're talking about the power to persuade with words, I am not up to half of him. I'm not being modest. I'm not trying to be nice. We all agree. That man says to you, this thing, this pulpit you're looking at, is black. You will believe him. By the way he talks, physically he drives his point home like this. I said, this is an anointing. Yes. He told me something years ago. So before he enters the ministry, he has to settle his business, do this. When money is flowing, they know he didn't come to ministry for money. Who cares what you think I came for? When I came back from Abba, I had to thank God. People came from Port Harcourt because on their announced on air, I'll be in Abba teaching. Do you know how to thank God? I was telling my wife, hey. Occasionally I tell her, I say, do you know, baby, I could have refused to do this. And there's always a tangible reason. I need to build a house in my village, one here, one there, so that at least they will know. My father will be happy, my mother will be happy. But when you do that, let me tell you the truth. I went to school very early, very, 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 very early. And I was a young boy. What was God doing with it? Now I understand. I've told you before that I talked with people with bachelors in theology. And a man wrote me, a friend of mine, that you challenged me to read my Bible. And I had a bachelor in theology. And went for NYC together. I have a bachelor in medicine and surgery. What happened? God made me go to University of Benin. Situated me around amongst men who did nothing but fight. That if they had to fight, it's Bible they are fighting over. All they did was pray and prophesy and discuss scripture. We had normal fellowship. The president of the fellowship was there. The chief Bible teacher was there in that room. Yes, we still have room fellowship. They will still preach, still prophesy, and still lay hands on you in room fellowship. And you're still going to fellowship, maybe next day for general fellowship. I went to University of Benin by a small chance. My parents took my JAMB form, they wanted to submit it, and they stumbled into my cousin, who was at that time a final year student at University of Benin. Where is he going? They said, of course, typical person from the West, you choose Ibadan, Ife, Ilorin, these are your three choices. If you like adventure, you try UNILAG. All right? But if your head is normal, you choose only those three. And that was what I did. Except that day, they just turned to my cousin, just said, no. To University of Benin. It had never crossed my parents' mind, which was actually closer to us than all the other ones. You know, there was none closer. Each one is at least twice as far away as University of Benin. Let me make long story short. That's how my adventure into Uniben began. I'm not making out something here. That was where I learned the word of faith. My fellowship, that's how I got into it. I'm making an issue. Years of training, I could have decided I need a house and wasted it. Yes. And it's painful. There are things you don't know today. Because one blockhead went to South Africa to go and look for money. There are things I don't know today. Because one guy will just not realize that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. He has left me stranded. There's no fuel. It's because somebody disappeared, he didn't do his job. Power is not constant. Many of them ran away. They are sweeping gutter in London and America. Maybe they are not sweeping gutter. Maybe they are driving fine cars. But that's the reason why your power is not constant. Listen to me. That's what bad men, when they say Jesus feared. The plan of the ages, it will come to an end because of one small girl. Say, you have a sexual drive. Better castrate yourself by yourself before the plan of the ages. It's because we don't understand the power, the importance of our life. That's how we misbehave. He said, men became eunuchs for this personally, for the sake of the kingdom. When I say, okay, sexual drive, you'll kill me. Let me just show you something. No, listen. I told you when angels came to strengthen Jesus, it was to show him more visions of things to come. I hear all kinds of stories these days, and it embarrasses me. Or Jesus was a man of God the other day. They mentioned one man, I couldn't believe it. He said, him, his hotel is known, man of God. When he goes to hotel, girls follow. I said, they think God is a joker. I'm trying to emphasize the meaning of the word, he feared. He prevents you from entering into your destiny. It spoils businesses. It's not just about, they didn't catch me, I fell sick and I died. No! It ruins ministries, spoils businesses. Is the reason, go and read my book, Beyond Gifts and Talents, is the reason why Samson did not do well. Samson, have you watched Chinese films before? You watch Chinese film. One man will beat 100 people. 1,000 people. At the end of the day, do his hand like this. You think it's a joke? Samson was exactly like that. Check Chinese films. You don't find the main guy being very muscular. They are always lean people. That was why they asked Samson, where is the source of your strength? He was not a muscular man. He was a typical Bruce Lee. And I was like, everybody. Every man don't die with that. They finally want the money to cage him inside the city. They got to the city, they unlocked the gate. So, all right, say, if that's the way you like it, remove the gate, put on for shoulder, went up a hill. Yet, when he was going to die, they were massaging his back. Bele, honey. Hey-yo. See, you want to talk to me? You don't love me. If any girl does that, I say, get away, I don't love you. I love my destiny. Guys, and ladies too, don't let anybody blackmail you. Once it turns to blackmail, my wife said something, they said, some people cry to get this from her husband. She said she learned in the first year that with this guy, it doesn't work. Ask her, I'm not lying. He said, why? I said, baby, I made a decision with reason, which did not include absence of cry. So you cannot add cry now to distort the equation. If for example, now I say, okay, I want a brand new Land Cruiser, and I go and price it, they tell me it's 25 million. Cry from now till tomorrow. If I don't have the money, you ain't driving no Land Cruiser. That he didn't love me. I don't love you. I love 25 million. I don't have it. When 25 million comes, I will know whether I love you or I don't. Right now, yeah. The Lord is good. That was what happened to Samson with all the destiny hanging in front of him. One girl sold him for money. Please go and read the book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Why did he forfeit Delilah? Because he had been leaking by sin his spiritual strength before that day. I'm not emphasizing what the Bible when it says Jesus feared. That's the meaning. He feared, he understood that the plan of God for his life wouldn't come to pass. He understood that the destiny is going to come to an end. He understood that everything that God labored for, in quotes, from Genesis till now, will spoil. And the whole earth will have to wait another 4,000 years. You think it's easy to make a redeemer? You think God called Abraham because he loved Abraham? God called Abraham that he might bring forth Jesus. That's the reason why Jesus feared. If men understood that what I do in life is not just about me. See, the children God is giving you, I and the children the Lord have given me, they are for signs and for wonders. That wonder will not happen if you're a man of iniquity. Don't even pity your daughter. The girl will start slipping from one bed to the other because you, idiot, could not keep your zip together. It's not you. You are ruining the life of the next generation. You say people don't understand that. Then sin is hard to resist. If you understood the consequence, if you understood the consequence, when Eli's sons died, you know, when Job's sons died, a man asked, he said, peradventure your sons sinned and God gave them over to the power of their iniquity. That tells me iniquity has power. It can wipe out a whole generation. Don't understand why it is that Jesus feared. Many people, you see them today, they are rich. God said, this boy, you know, that Dangote would have been poor where this guy is. But because of sin, because of iniquity, his ability to conceive great things disappeared. Jesus stood at the time, he said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. What does that tell you? Sin is what Satan uses to hold people. Sin is what he uses to hold people. He doesn't just, you know, some of the prayers we pray, all the destiny holders. Where did he see it in the Bible? What is in the Bible is destiny donors. People who donate their destiny. All the destiny donors. Samson gave to Delilah, take. Reuben gave to his father's concubine, take. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn, the beginning of my strength, but you will not have preeminence. Why? You climbed up to my bed. Reuben gave away preeminence because of concubine. When God said to David, when he told, what do you call it, Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. And he made everybody pass in front of Jesse. And he said, see Eliab, I have rejected him. See Abinadab, I have rejected him. See Shammah, I have rejected him. And he went down like that and all the sons of Jesse were complete before David. I said, God, did you not know David's name? When you sent Samuel, why didn't you just go, he said, go there. Tell him to call his smallest son. His name is David. God did not do that so that you and I can learn a lesson later on in life. That God weighs people. He weighs everybody. He followed due order in Israel. David was not the first consideration. He was not. The family of Jesse was not the first consideration. They were not. Judah was not the first consideration. They were not. He started with Reuben. When he saw Reuben, he said, Reuben, no, forget. Is that not the one that, these are his descendants? Move them. They can't have preeminence. When's the next one? He went line by line until he got to the house of Judah. And he went from family to family until he got to the house of Jesse. Now went through the children of Jesse and got to the last one. He said, I have found. Well, you find when you are looking. I have found a man after my heart who will do all my desires. Threw away Saul and replaced him with David. I'm talking about why Jesus feared. Sin caps destinies. I hope you get my point. It caps destinies. Stops people from prospering in life. Stops them from prospering. It makes them unable to see visions that will give them confidence to attack their destiny and succeed. Please, though. That's why Jesus feared, though. That was why he feared. He said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. He was telling disciples that you will see me die. It's not because Satan could hold me. That's what he was saying to them. What does that tell you? Go to the Bible, you know that people are marked. Yes. Marking is a common thing God does. Yes, he marks people. He put a mark upon them, Cain, at the beginning. There was a time he looked through all of Israel. He told the angels, go out, mark for me a certain group of people. Those who have been sighing and groaning because of this iniquity. Those who have been reacting like this. Those who have abstained from sin. Mark for me those people. Jeremiah waited. When they reached Jeremiah, they put a mark on his head, then he jumped and didn't mark anybody else. Jeremiah said, what's going on here? What am I going to say here? They are spiritual marks. Sin is like putting a target practice mark on your body. And you are walking and told devil, shoot me. They are spiritual marks. That is why the Bible uses the fact that the blood of Jesus cleanses all those things that are stuck to people's body. It washes them off. Without it, Satan has nothing to hold. Please, my message, why did Jesus fear? It wasn't only because of the reverential fear for God. Reverential fear, nothing. So, you know, you don't fear God like you fear snake. You reverence him, you come to judge. Say, I worship you, Lord, we just reverence you. We reverence you with all the stolen money. We reverence you. We reverence you for all, with all the adultery. We reverence you with all the pride in our hearts and lying and cheating. We reverence you. Only they wrote me the other day, they said, please advise me on which church to go. Said, the church I love most. When I get there, my soul is lifted. My faith is strengthened. He said, but I think the pastor is backsliding. Their senior pastor is using a false anointing. He said, all these boys and girls, they are very immoral. I said, and you are still going there asking me for advice, which one I should go to? You are a glutton for punishment or what? I told him, I said, hang around long enough, their spirit will enter you. He said, when you get into their church, he said, no serious Christian there. He said, they look all of them like unserious Christians. He said, they are all very immoral. I don't trust them one bit. He said, what I do, I don't talk to them. I just come to church and go. He said, advise me. I said, I should advise you. After you have finished advising yourself, I should still advise you. I mean, you know, God have mercy. My reply, I said, please, oh, my dear sister, hang around long enough. You will drink of their spirit. The Lord is good. What's my message? This is why Jesus feared. He understood the importance, the power that sin has. And that's the message for you and I today. No matter how much faith you want to have or claim to have, there's a place it cannot cross. There are things it can't download unless you depart from iniquity. Paul said it clearly. He said, we have these promises. Let's cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that if we don't do that, the promises will not come to pass. Oh, in case you've heard the doctrine that, you know, as a Christian, your spirit is perfect. You are of God. Your spirit has been born again. Any sin you commit does not touch your spirit because, praise God, you're a new man in Christ Jesus. The world doesn't understand you. Like I always said, no matter the doctrine you want to argue over, what is the result of it? If by the time you finish speaking like this, all your boys are very honest, diligent, and all the girls are very prim and proper, they don't sleep around, then I know the doctrine is correct. But the one I'm referring to, I remember that man still preaching that day on TV like this. When you hear that kind of doctrine, flee. Or winan, flee. You know, go, flee. Disappear. Satan. The same thing Satan said to Eve, you will not surely die. The same thing. You don't know what he said? You will not surely die. Listen, he said, add to your faith moral excellence. If moral excellence is not climbing, it is not faith. Yes. And people deceiving themselves. The Bible says it clearly. Add to your faith moral excellence. When a man sat in Corinth and didn't do it, Paul gave him over to death. He said, let Satan destroy his body. Let's see if our adventure will be able to save him. Truthfully, it worked. When the guy had troubles, he repented sharp, sharp. He said, it's just your body. I said, we'll punish your body. That doctrine time when I was in school, they used to do all kinds of things. Somebody would take your money, say, I'm not the one, it's my body. I said, okay, I will do, what do you call that thing?
Sharia.
I will sharia your body. Your spirit will be intact though. You sharia to remove your body that's stealing my money. Let those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. What am I going to say? That is the reason why Jesus feared. Destinies are killed because of sin. No matter how much God wants to bless people, I said to you before, when I was preaching here, that if God wants to bless a man, the first thing he gives him is correction. He won't bless disobedience. Never. He will never bless disobedience. No matter how sincere you are, he will not bless disobedience. He may refuse to kill because of your sincerity, but he will not bless. The sign of his favor is that he'll correct. He'll correct you. How do I know? Abimelech took Abraham's wife. And he said, you're a dead man. He said, dead. What happened? You took a prophet's wife. I did not know. He said, that's why I corrected you. That's what God gives to sincere people. Correction. He will never bless disobedience. Read through the scriptures. David was a man that God loved. Loved him seriously. Caleb went into the promised land at the age of 85 to be fighting giants. At the age of 70-something, David was so tired, they had to put girls to warm his body. That lets you know where his energy went. So they told the girls, bring the energy back, come and lie down here. It sounds funny, but it's not a joke. The age at which Caleb stood and told Moses, now give me the marching order. I am ready to take the promised land. That was my strength was 45 years ago, so is my strength today. 10 years younger than that. They said, David, Papa, are you in the morning? He said, any fine chicken today, come and lie down here so I can get some energy. They use the girls to collect energy. You know why they use the girl? They know where his energy went. The only thing David was careful about was that he was not an adulterer. Apart from the case of Bathsheba. But he was marrying many wives. Later on, Solomon said, is it Lemuel? One of those men that wrote David said, don't give your strength to women. Once a man has many wives, he will not be strong in old age. I don't know how it happens, so the energy will leak from here, leak from here, leak from here, leak from here. Everything leak. To keep body warm alone, they say, okay, the girls took the energy. I beg, Abishag, come and lie down here. But adventure, God. They had to tell us, and he knew her not. Because they know the man normally. Inside his weakness, I go, oh, wake up, okay, he did there. The Bible had to emphasize that this one, Oga did not touch. You think Solomon learned all the marrying of 1,000 from somewhere else? You don't watch him, Papa. Say, Daddy, how did he enjoy you? Now he amplified the enjoyment. And you saw the result in his life. As an old man, too, he lost spiritual strength. Small girls say, come, let us go and worship Baal. Say, if you don't follow them now, these girls, they think you are not nice. What am I trying to say? These men, good men, they broke the law of monogamy and they suffered for it. Even though God was not showing them any anger. Yet, David's energy. At the 70-something, man, don't tire. The age at which Caleb was still waiting was tired. I've read my Bible up and down. The only explanation I have for his tiredness is too many women. After Solomon has suffered, he said, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with that one wife of your youth. But by that time, it was too late. His own, he said, should your springs be scattered abroad? His own was scattered abroad. That is what sin does. So even if God is not going to say, is it sin? Is it iniquity? Is he a sin? Is it amplifying your spirituality or diminishing it? Just solve that problem and let's forget this thing. My message, why did Jesus fear? That's my message. If he feared, we should double fear. Are you getting my point? Yes. That is how we attack sin and disobedience to the word of God with fervent prayer. You see, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer, normal Bible. Amplified said, heartfelt continued. To let you know, it's not the shouting prayer. It is the prayer that's persuaded, that understands. That is, Joseph, many Joseph died. We don't realize because of Mrs. Potiphar. But the Joseph you and I know was the one that understood the power of sin. So he said, I can't do this and sin against God. I'm sorry. What am I trying to say? That's why this is important for us to understand. Forget that nonsense. Somebody said that it's not fear, it is reverential awe. Okay, ask yourself, what's the meaning of reverential awe? The one all these politicians have and our national treasure is going down. Is that what they call reverential awe? I don't like that one. Tell people, God sends people to hellfire. And he smokes them bit by bit with fire that's unquenchable. That's why it's like a loving God. Does not send people to hellfire. What's your reference? Just wake up, decide you want to believe what you want to believe. Every information must have reference. Otherwise, it's not authentic. Otherwise, all of us can come up with anything that we like. The reference, which is the word of God, says the loving God provides a way of escape. That's what a loving God does. It tells this is the way of escape. I've made my point. My message for today is ended. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet and begin to pray again. You have seen it. I've made a few points. Addictions can be broken. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They can be broken. If anything is holding on to somebody, you have to ask yourself, where did this start from? I made that point. Very important. And listen to me. Don't let your destiny be destroyed. It is a lie for anybody to tell you there are destiny destroyers out there who are not tempters. All destiny destroyers that are outside you are tempters. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Who's a destiny destroyer? Not a witch in the village. Forget that thing. Most times, Christians, they don't know how to pray. That's why God led us to study school of prayer. To teach believers how to pray. Your destiny cannot be destroyed by an outsider. Like I will keep on saying, if Satan was so powerful, why does he tempt? Are you getting my point? If he had power over people, why does he tempt? I don't tempt my children. I give them instructions. Come here means come here. And he comes. Why? I have power over him. This is a matter of fact. Satan does not have power over the believer. He does not have. Satan does not have power over the believer. He can't just gather his agents, sit down in a coven somewhere and be saying that, listen, when witches want to cast a spell, their number one way they do when it comes to men, when they are finished meeting, they will gather all the spell and enter into a fine girl and come and meet the man. Good afternoon, sir. I just hope you could help me, sir. And the spirits will say, look, she's not fine. You know what Job said? I'm not looking. I have made a covenant with my eyes. That's what Job said. I am not looking. Leave me alone. Remember what he said at that time? That he gave us promises so that by them we become what? Partakers of divine nature. We are not without help. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Even though the tempter comes against us like a flood, the Lord on our side will raise up a standard of resistance against him.
Amen.
If he comes with all his temptations, we have the power to resist.
Amen.
He has given us magnificent promises. That's what we used to pray last time. I hope that today we'll just start with those promises, but I had to explain this as I was sitting down here, getting ready. This thought just started flowing into my mind fast. I had to quickly scribble a few points down. And I knew that's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to explain today, the meaning of the word fear. But the promises, for example, we indeed are born of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The spirit that's inside us is dragging us towards holiness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And he gave us something. Remember what I said earlier? If you find a particular sin difficult to resist, you fell for a small, what you thought was smaller before. And that, like I was preaching, you look back and identify it. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And the next line is what? To cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Many of the things people are trying to resist is what the Bible calls unrighteousness that came as a result of falling for what we thought was small sin. That girl I told the story about earlier, if she could identify it and confess that sin, if her father blessed her, God will remove that urge to just be sleeping around and crashing homes from her. She won't know what happened. God cleanses. That's the promise we have. Many people continue in what they are doing that is wrong because they don't know the way back. Many of those have been all those kind of say that I was bangy. If they were not bangy, nothing. They know. Why do they keep on saying it? They don't know how else to get out. So the way to start is called rationalization in Freudian psychology. You start rationalizing, say, yes, I'm like, that's just to give yourself peace of mind. Because otherwise the conflict in the soul can be very terrible. That's what I'm preaching. That God has given us a way of escape. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He has given us a way of escape.
Amen.
He says, if you confess your sins, I will forgive you and then cleanse you of unrighteousness. Every defilement, I will cleanse it. Every addiction, I will cleanse it.
Amen.
Many people are addicted to drugs today, and God said, confess the sin of disobedience to parents. The man is confessing, I will not take heroin. God said, that's not your problem. That's your unrighteousness. Your sin is disobedience to parents. He flashes back, you know where it began from. Your father said, don't go, you went. Your mother said, don't go, you went. Don't take this, you did. You disobeyed them steadily for a year. At the end of that year, you were on drugs. And for 5 years, you've been doing all kinds of rehab, all kinds of prayer, all kinds of deliverance, all kinds of demon casting. It's not going away. Why? The sin is the sin of disobedience to parents, not that of chemical substance abuse. The chemical substance abuse is what the Bible calls unrighteousness. A result, a fruit of disobedience. Let us pray, therefore. I have spoken at length. Everybody begin to pray. Use the promises. Say, Lord, I confess, you will cleanse. Say, Lord, show me. Where did it begin from? Where did this start? Where did it start? Why should my destiny be destroyed? Why should it be destroyed? Once I was speaking to my mother, she said, you're not doing your private practice again. I said, no. You won't get as much money. I said, but what are we going to do? This is why God gave you life, made you marry my father, and you had me as a son. We will not let that destiny be destroyed because we want to build a house. We want to buy a new car. We can ride the keke napep to teach the gospel. So say, Lord, why should my destiny be destroyed? Say, it will not happen. Begin to declare, say, I have the Spirit of Christ. Begin to declare it there. Say, that is my nature. The Spirit of Christ is in me. The Spirit of Christ is in me. I have been born again of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Say it right there. Say, sin will not have any dominion over me. 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 Because I'm dead. The life I now live, I'm living by faith. Declare that your natural self is dead. I have died to sin. I have died to the flesh. So the Holy Spirit is now inside me. Say it loud and say it clear. Sin shall not have any dominion over me. Say it loud and say it clear. Every addiction is broken. Every addiction is broken. I'm speaking to you there. I said it is broken. There is nothing the Lord can't forgive you. Let's just get that one clear. He's able to save to the uttermost.
is able to save to the uttermost anyone that will draw near to God by him. He's able to save to the uttermost. Receive forgiveness. Receive salvation. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. The power of sin over your life is broken. You have dominion over sin. You have dominion over every work of the devil. Sin shall not have any dominion over you. I say sin shall not have any dominion over you. It will not have. The strength of God to resist is your portion. I want to pray a prayer. Just, can you be silent for just a moment? You know, there's one thing we declare all the time. I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now, that is really taken from the book of Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 also has something similar to that. We'll combine it and wrote out that incantation. You know what I mean by incantation? The declaration of the word of God. Now, what I want to just bring out is the fact that this issue of knowledge comes up. Understanding comes up. And I want to pray a prayer based upon that. Because I've been saying something again and again. Most of us are training, looking at what is actually the fruit of sin. And think that thing is sin itself. So we try to resist the fruit. We never really go about trying to resist the sin. So I want to pray a prayer for you. Put up your two hands. That little thing that camouflages itself like a small thing, but it's actually sin. The Lord will expose it to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will have understanding and know what is sin indeed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not fall for sin and start resisting the fruit.
Amen.
That will not be your portion.
Amen.
They just said bow, and Jesus said that is the problem. Turn your stones to bread. Jesus said that is what the problem is. Many people have turned their stones to bread. They do it every day. They don't know it is sin. He's a pastor. He's twisting the word of God because of money. He wants to resist adultery. God said, no, 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 no. Sin was when you took my word and turned your stones to bread with it. Those little things that camouflage, the big sins actually, I wanted to say, that camouflage as if they are little, God will show you their true nature in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Sometimes the sin in your life is a good friend. Just being friends with that fellow is your sin. You think fornication is your sin. God said, no. It is that girl that's your... You're a girl, and that girl is your good friend. That is your sin. God will reveal your sin to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, receive the power to lay it aside.
Amen.
Once it is revealed to you... That power will work in you and you will lay it aside.
Amen.
Hear ye the word of the Lord. Sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
I said sin will not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Every affliction in your body, in your soul is broken in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said it is broken in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When Jesus died, you died.
Amen.
Your sin died. Your addiction died.
Amen.
The unrighteousness, whether it's root or fruit, it died.
Amen.
When it rose up from the dead, you rose up in the newness of life.
Amen.
You are new.
Amen.
You are clean.
Amen.
You are forgiven.
Amen.
You are washed.
Amen.
You are free.
Amen.
You are free.
Amen.
That devil that's trying to hold on to you just fell off.
Amen.
Premature death just fell off you.
Amen.
Cancer in your brain just fell off.
Amen.
Emotional troubles just fell off.
Amen.
Freedom enwraps you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's just worship him and give him thanks. Just wave your hands to him and say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. That is number one sin of the whole earth. They don't acknowledge him. They don't give him thanks. They don't give him praise. That is the number one sin of the whole earth. Let's fight that one with thanksgiving. Let's resist that one by worshiping him. Let's just say, Lord, it is you. You are the good God. You are my creator. I didn't come by accident. My ancestor is not a baboon. You are my creator. You made me. You formed me in my mother's womb. Lord, I give you thanks because I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Say, Lord, I give you thanks. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You are my God. My life is yours. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died for me and rose again on my behalf. Declare it, I have been crucified with Christ. Declare it, I have been crucified with him. My old self is dead. I may appear alive, but it's not me anymore. It is Christ that lives in me. Give him praise for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season in the name of Jesus. Please bless somebody on your left. Bless somebody on the other side. Bless somebody behind you, please, or in front of you. All right, cherub brethren, God bless you.